see Zendaya like you've never seen her before.
From visionary filmmaker Luca Guadagnino comes Challengers, where Zendaya stars as Tashi Duncan, a former tennis prodigy who makes no apologies for her game on and off the court.
For more than a decade, she has had former best friends Patrick and Art, played by Josh O'Connor and Mike Feist, under her spell.
It's Tashi's game and Tashi's rules.
See Challengers only in theaters April 26th. Get tickets now at challengersmovie.com.
Hey, Fidelity. How can I remember to invest every month?
With the Fidelity app, you can choose a schedule and set up recurring investments in stocks and ETFs.
Oh, that sounds easier than I thought.
You got this.
Yeah, I do. Now, where did I put my keys?
You will find them where you left them.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
I don't think Italy needs the advertisement, but it did look beautiful and provided lots of stone walls for Ari to throw Becca up against.
Finally, you know, this is Ari's signature move.
It's totally
why
true.
We, you know, grew to enjoy him on Emily's season. And finally, we were getting that signature up against a wall.
It was
neck
great
grab.
Form. Like, we're about to have the Olympics right now. So I would say I would give him a 10 for wall grabbing.
Welcome to Here to Make Friends, a HuffPost podcast about the Bachelor franchise, where we lovingly snark on The Bachelor and Bachelor adjacent shows.
Whether you love The Bachelor or love to hate it, we're here to break down every single delicious moment with you.
I'm Emma Gray.
And I'm Claire Fallon. Welcome to Here to Make Friends, the show that asks the question, what if you got to spend a week in Tuscany, but your tour guide was Ari?
Can I just take a pass on that? Like, can I just show myself around Italy? Is that an option?
I mean, personally, I thought it was kind of adorable to see him tell the women just the one fact he learned about each location. He was so proud of himself.
Production must have been very proud of him. The tourism board must have been very proud of him. And to, you know, help us guide ourselves through this very Italian episode, we have Kayla Quinn here. One of our favorite Bachelor and Bachelor in Paradise alums, and she has a fantastic blog, withlovekayla.com. Thank you for coming back and hanging out with us, Kayla.
Thanks for having me, guys. Emma, Claire, fun. You guys are the best. So.
We always love having you. We're glad you could be here. We do have to start with sort of a production note or hosting note.
A note.
Which is that we've been hearing from some listeners that we're being a little too harsh on Ari and just a little too critical this season. And we want to say that we hear that. And we understand. However, We gotta say what we're gonna say, and we try to be thoughtful and we try to be empathetic.
We're not always gonna get it right, but we also, you know, don't want to limit ourselves to the point that this podcast is just bland. And look, we get it. I also like to hear every podcast host that I listen to say exactly what I'm thinking, and I don't mean that in a condescending way. Like, I genuinely want that. And sometimes it can be frustrating when you feel like someone you have an intimacy with has disappointed you. So if you felt that way, we're sorry. But also, you know, we got to be genuine.
Yeah. Honestly, a big part of the reason I wanted to start this podcast was because I used to just love Grantland's podcast, The Right Reasons. But sometimes I would disagree with them and I would just want to yell into my phone. And instead, I started this podcast.
So the people could yell at us.
Yes.
And
we understand.
Continue to definitely take it. But we just wanted to say, we hear you. We're thinking about it.
And we don't hate Ari.
We don't hate Ari.
He's just so fun to make fun of.
He's just, yeah, he's just very bland. And
it's part of the job. When he signs up for it, it's going to happen.
Exactly. Like, he knew this was coming, we think. We hope.
Yeah, we hope for his sake. But let's get to Tuscany, ladies.
I'm ready for some wine, guys.
And pasta.
Oh, we should have had the Bachelor brand wine here right now at 10 a.m.
That's what they drink in Tuscany, Bachelor brand wine.
Yeah, that's where they bottled it, right?
Uh-huh. You go into one of those like little Tuscan homes where they're hunting truffles, and they're like, and here our finest bachelor brand Merlot. Yeah.
Collecting one teardrop from each gone bachelorette.
Like CN?
Yes.
Pony up?
Yeah. Who was it who got the wine locker with Rachel?
Oh, that was a good date. And
was
now
that
I'm,
Peter?
It might have been Peter. Or Eric.
Do they still have that wine somewhere that they can just...
transport it.
Do they split the wine? Do they get joint custody of the wine? I have questions.
Chris Harrison, get back to us.
So the girls are in a sort of Tuscan square, and Chris Harrison shows up with a little twist of news, which is that next week is hometown dates. There are 7 girls left. And this week there's going to be no rose ceremony. You have to get a rose on a date.
Dun, dun, dun.
I kind of liked this.
It's a good twist. I mean, often by this point when they're going on one-on-ones and not giving out roses often is how they'll do it.
Yeah, but and then there's usually like one a very short rose ceremony at the end.
Yeah, but it's like you usually know pretty clearly based on how the dates went.
This leaves a lot more time for, you know, one-on-one conversations and a little more intimate moments.
Yeah, and I think by this point in the show, it's actually nice to see the women's personalities and see, you know, Ari's personality
some
a little
women.
Bit more. Some of them. Yeah, we'll get to that.
So the first date card goes to Becca Kay. It says, let's fall in love under the Tuscan sun. And Ari's little red convertible is back. He, like, could not let go of this convertible.
Do we think it's the same convertible? Do they drive it from Paris?
You can tell I know about cars because I'm going to say it looked exactly the same to me. But who knows? Also, you can tell he really planned out how this scene was going to go because he was, like, leaning against the car. Mm-hmm. And then he, like, saw Becca coming and he was like, ciao Bella. And I was like, oh, Ari, you like saw that in a movie.
Yeah, he definitely redid that a couple times. He was like, I need to get this perfect. This is my moment to shine.
He's like, Becca, can you just like back up a little bit and just pretend you're seeing this for the first time? And they're going to a city called Barga. He was very dad-ish on a lot of these dates. He was like, we're going to this cute little city. Are you excited? Let's andiamo. That means let's go.
Yeah, she is not 14. In dad mode.
I feel like I learned a lot from like about everything. It's very good explore, like
you're like who even needs a you know a travel guide at this point? Like Lonely Planet, move over. We've got Ari.
I know it was. We learned a lot about the cities that clearly he had just been told 30 seconds before by production, but at least he made the effort, and I have to respect that. Barga is like a beautiful sort of old stone city, little town, very quaint. And then just in the middle of a square, there's a card table covered in bread. Do we think that was a real bread salesman? As they call them.
I wonder if they spotted him somewhere and then, like, worked it out to, like, move him into the optimal location.
Because it's like it wasn't a market.
No.
It was definitely placed there.
Yeah. It was 100% placed there.
Yeah.
He may have actually been a
baker?
Baker. Yeah, that's the word. Yeah, that I buy that part.
Yeah.
The bread seemed to be his.
Well, here's where I'm at a disadvantage, which is I've never been to Italy, and I'm very resentful about that. And I see these scenes, and I'm like, maybe that is normal to just have a card table covered in bread in the middle of a square. I don't know.
But now you want to go, right?
I do.
That's their job, is to make you want to go to Italy. It's like the peak of romance, where you get breadsticks and wine.
But it's like Italy doesn't need to sponsor a bachelorette episode. I already wanted to go to Italy. I was already planning a trip to Italy. It's taken care of. But like when they go to like Croatia or something, you're like, oh, I had no idea this country was a place you could
Croatia is amazing.
Go and fall in love.
Everyone should go there. It's beautiful.
I'm just saying, like, I don't think Italy needs the advertisement, but it did look beautiful and provided lots of stone walls for Ari to throw Becca up against.
Finally, you know, this is Ari's signature move.
It's totally
why
true.
We, you know, grew to enjoy him on Emily's season. And finally, we were getting that signature up against a wall.
It was great form. Like, we're about to have the Olympics right now. Yeah. So I will say I would give him a 10 for wall grabbing.
It's like his kissing is really like he's versatile, but I feel like that's his best event is the up against the wall.
Yes. Oh, and we haven't seen many walls, so this is optimal
right.
for him.
And he got to try this out on multiple different walls made of different stones. Like, this is his dream.
Where did that happen with Emily? Was that also in Italy?
It was somewhere in Europe.
Yeah, maybe.
In like, because they were in an alley.
Yeah. Switzerland.
It looked very visually reminiscent of that date with Emily by the end there. But first, Ari has some questions about Becca because they had that good first date. They've lost some momentum. Mainly their relationship since then has been that he thinks she looks hot in yoga pants. So are they going to get this going? Are they going to have a breakthrough? And so they sit down and he's like, listen, the first date, I felt really good about things. But now I'm like, eh.
He's really honest, at least.
Yeah.
And then, you know what? It was so long ago, and you could tell the first date she was so nervous that she really didn't get to blossom in her personality. So we got to get down to the dirty, nitty-gritty.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's also often around this time that the person who had that first date kind of falters because it's a lot of time, and everyone else has gotten more comfortable. There's been all these dates.
Yeah.
And so I was actually kind of pleasantly surprised for Becca's sake at, like, how well this went.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't a very interesting date.
No, I didn't retain anything about it except that they made out against walls.
It wasn't very memorable. I didn't want to say that.
Yeah, I'd almost forgotten about it when I looked back at my notes. Mm-hmm. And I like Becca. Whenever she talks, I enjoy her. I'm like, I could see myself grabbing a coffee with her.
Really?
Which I can't say for certain other contestants. But we also didn't see much of that. We saw mostly only pretty, like, serious conversation about whether their relationship is at the right place. And then, like, gauzy, like, video of them dancing around, holding hands and a bottle of wine.
Yeah.
Definitely got the romantic edit, but there wasn't a ton of substance there.
Yeah. It didn't feel romantic to me. It felt more like they were trying to make it seem romantic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But they seem to be genuinely into each other. We just don't get... I think that's what's frustrating me about a lot of the editing choices this season is that we seem to be missing the meat of the dates if there was meat.
Totally. And their connection other than physical.
That's what I mean. And it's like there's nothing to back up than the proclamations.
I'm going to be honest. I also think Becca got a really, really like lucky spot in the date sequence because I feel like he gave her the one-on-one rose just because she had the first date and he's like, I have to eliminate three people. And poor CN got one of the last one-on-ones and he was like, I gotta get rid of somebody. I guess we don't have a connection. Goodbye. I mean, I'm jumping ahead, but
I didn't really see it with CN either. But I think I actually do see it more with Becca.
Yeah.
He seemed more comfortable with Becca. Mm-hmm. CN does to me seems to intimidate him a little bit, so he can't relax around her.
True.
But, he's intimidated by smart women. We know this.
But he does then. He throws out like, oh, I'm like falling for you at the end of this date. And I was like, I don't buy that. Like, also at the beginning of the date, he was like, or at the beginning of the evening, he was like, we had a really good day, but is it enough? And then suddenly an hour later, he's falling for her.
Well, it was the same thing with Lauren. And that's what I mean.
No, like, but Lauren, he'll say he's falling for no matter what.
Yeah.
I want to see why. We're not getting the why.
Meanwhile, back at the hotel, Jacqueline is starting to spiral a little bit. She is confiding in her bestie, Kendall, that she has more doubts than the other women. She feels like she can't give him the life that he wants. And she says 99% of her wants to stay, but she just can't really trust what she wants and she can't trust her feelings.
And at one point, doesn't she say something like, I'm not sure if I'm just falling in love with the idea of falling in love? And I thought that was like a really astute observation about the situation. I mean, Kayla, maybe you can speak to this. Like, it is such a bubble when you're there.
It is. You really do get enwrapped in the moment. And so I think it's really mature of her to take herself out of the situation. I must say, I feel bad. I don't think you should ever compare how you feel to other women because some women fall in love at first sight. Some women take time. But you should just like be in the moment. And so her head was speaking louder than her heart at that time because even when they said goodbye, there were so many kisses that it just didn't, it just like, it was like, yeah. It didn't feel like a goodbye. It'll feel like, I'll see you later.
Yeah. It was a really physical goodbye.
Oh, yeah. That
was... So she goes to talk to Ari after he gets back from his date with Becca and sits down and immediately like grabs his glass of wine and takes some. He's like, oh, I'll get you your own glass. He's like, don't touch my wine.
They were both really self-soothing during this entire breakup.
Yeah. So she tells him, you know, that she's had these moments of doubt and it makes her feel like she's not the right person to take to hometowns. She's not confident enough. And he's sort of trying to persuade her to stay, which surprised me because I didn't see her being one of his top ladies.
No. I think at the end of the day, they both realized from the last date, like Ari definitely realized that their lives were incompatible. Mm-hmm. But what I took from this is that Ari has not been broken up with very much in his life.
Well, it's funny because every relationship we know about really in detail, he has been broken up with. Like the woman who left him.
The ex and then
Emily.
That's true. It just still read to me as though this was sort of like a foreign feeling to him or that he, I mean, like all of us, like he likes to have control.
Yeah.
And so the minute someone starts to pull away, you're like, wait, no.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah. With Becca M, he sort of had the similar realization that it wasn't going to work out. And then he gave himself some runway to, like, de-escalate his feelings for her without saying goodbye at a moment when he would be acutely upset by it. And then by the time he let her go, he was sort of like, I've thought about it and I've distanced myself from you emotionally because it's not going to work out. And with Jacqueline, she kind of jumped the gun.
Right.
And
she didn't give him the space to make that decision.
Which, good for her.
Good for her. I love when women self-eliminate on this show. It's extremely satisfying.
It's also extremely hard. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just think that you think you're not in control, but you really are. And it's kind of representative of all women, like, just not knowing that you can be in control of the situation, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you can just remove yourself.
Yeah. Well, especially when I assume you have producers in your ear being like, why don't you give it another chance? What if this thing could work out? What if this is your person? Like, that takes a lot of internal strength to just say, no, I'm going to go home.
And you see why producers would do that, because then as soon as she leaves, everyone else is like, well, maybe I have doubts. Maybe I should leave. Like, it's kind of infectious. It's like how everyone gets divorced in a friend group at the same time. Like, it's like, it's not infectious, but also really psychologically it is.
Also, the whole thing just reminded me of Charlene.
Yes.
Very much. Where it was like, intellectually, she knew that this was never going to work. But she's like, I'm still really attracted to you and I want to make out with you.
Yeah.
And that's real.
That's real. It was well thought out. I think it was my favorite moment of the episode. And we just haven't seen a real conversation of someone thinking through their emotions in the same depth. So kudos to Jacqueline.
Yeah, it's not common that someone has the wherewithal to really be like, I don't know what my feelings are. I don't know if they're related to the process or if they're related to this guy. She really thought it all through. And Ari is really, he's like putting his face in her hair. He's like, I really like you. I don't want this to be over. If you have any doubts, come back to me. Which, like, we're going into hometown.
Statement.
Like, what is he going to do if she comes back and is like, fantasy suites,
no,
I'm back.
Then he'll get to dump her, Claire, and that'll be more satisfying for
exactly.
him.
Exactly. That's really true. So Jacqueline leaves and is just full mesnicking in the hallway. Like, I thought she was going to fall over. I just feel like Jacqueline can do so much better.
Yeah. I also think she's probably physically and mentally exhausted at this point.
Yeah, no, she can do. She'll meet some great guy who will just, like, put her first, so she'll be fine.
Yeah, and she won't be tempted to move to Scottsdale and give up her, you know, schooling and...
Yes. I mean, it's just always... This is always the weirdest part for me is when someone gets eliminated or leaves themselves with really good reason and they're clearly incompatible, and then just to see how much they still like pedestal that person, that she still thinks he's so perfect and lovable, and I'm like, you're gonna take a month away from this and you're gonna look back and be like, him?
Yeah.
And but you know, the feelings are real in the moment.
Did you feel that way, Kayla? After you
looking
left.
Back, yeah, I think Well, I was just really sad. But then when you watch it back, you're like, oh my goodness, his connection's so much stronger with other people. Why didn't I see this in the first place? And so I think she'll look back and be really proud of herself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the show is really kind of gaslighty to its contestants. There's so much like focus only on yourself. And then it's like, why didn't you see that it was stronger with other people? Or it's like, yeah, trust the process. And then it's like, didn't you realize the rug was going to get pulled out from under you? I always get infuriated. Or like when Ari is like, you know, don't be worried about having to open up to me. It's fine. When 5 minutes before he was saying, if she doesn't open up to me, she's going home. Like, yeah, there's so many contradictory messages. It must be a real brain scramble. But Jacqueline goes back to say goodbye to everyone. And this was the real saddest moment because Kendall and Jacqueline were so sad to say goodbye to each other. Mm-hmm. Kendall was sobbing.
This is my favorite love story of this season. I'm such a sucker for the friendship moments between the women. Yeah. It's my favorite part of the show.
Yeah. That's true love.
This was a really good group of women, too. So I really loved how much camaraderie there was. Even with that wrestling date when, you know, Bibiana was comforting, I think it was Tia.
Yeah.
It was really sweet.
Besides Crystal, I'd say that they all seem to really get along, even if they wouldn't be best friends in real life. And I was listening to Robert Mills being interviewed on Juliet's podcast, and he actually said that, I guess, after Nick's season, there were, you know, complaints from the audience about the shows, just people trying to sell fit tea afterwards, et cetera, et cetera. And so they seemed to make, like, a concerted effort to cast women who had more set jobs and established career paths and lives, which definitely came across.
Totally.
I thought was interesting.
Yeah, I've really been enjoying this group of ladies. And honestly, I think Ari, I don't want to assume things about the women who left early, but I think that the taste of the person who's the lead often ends up making a really big difference. And Ari clearly thinks that he's into quirky, interesting girls, even though he is not.
But at least he knows he like should be.
Right. So he's winnowed it down to these like undeniable catches. Who are much more interesting. Like, who knows how differently the season could have gone if he had had gone a different direction. But speaking of which, it's time for his date with Lauren.
Oh, God, guys.
Let's break down our walls.
This is the date card.
There are walls that are up.
Yeah.
Both.
No, that
there
was an invitation.
There are physical walls.
No. Let's break down our walls is the date with Lauren. And they're going to a little city called Luca, which has a wall around it from the days when the Italian city-states were, I guess, at war.
And do you get it? She also needs to break down her own walls.
Oh, it's like a metaphor.
It's just like, just in case you weren't sure.
They're good
just wanted
the
to
puns.
Clarify. Yeah. I don't know. They've really been slacking this season.
And she really took the message to heart because when they were doing that bike tour around the old wall guarding the city, she said several things other than wow. She said, this is great. She said, oh, my gosh. She said, this is very Italian.
Yeah.
That's all I wrote down. But I'm sure there was more. Like, she's really blossoming. She actually took a lot of the things that Ari said on their date in Paris and just reused them. She was like, oh, he would say, look at that. That's great. And she was like, I'm going to say that this time. She's growing.
You know that this is a woman that Ari could actually be with because she is so in awe of all of his fun facts about the city. And she, like, loves – he's, like, showing off, like, his bike tricks. And she's just like, yes. And at one point literally says, you lead the way, Ari. And I'm like, ah, yes. This is not the dynamic he thinks he wants, but it is the dynamic he actually wants.
Very much so.
And that's fine. People are entitled to enjoy whatever they enjoy in a relationship. But, like, let's be honest, this – reads differently than his relationship with just about all the other women.
Yeah. What did you think of Lauren on this date, Kayla?
I mean, I think Lauren in general really hasn't shown all of her personality. And so I think with the breaking down the walls is what everyone wanted to do with a hammer to see more of her. And even in their one-on-one conversation, it just felt like a struggle a little bit. So
I still felt like she wasn't really picking up on what he was laying down.
Yeah.
Like, he was still making jokes and she wouldn't really laugh or even smile.
Mm-hmm.
He would make sort of pointed comments about how she had to open up and she would seem oblivious to it. I still just felt like she wasn't really listening to him in a way.
I don't even know if it's the editing, too, because there's so much time that we're not seeing. But the thing is, they would give us the meat if there was some.
Right.
One would hope, right?
Yeah. One would think, because Ari's, like, obsessed with her. Yeah. Don't they want him to seem sane?
I don't get it. I don't get it. I don't see any justification for the obsession. Mm-hmm. And, like, yeah. I want to say it must be the editing, because what else is there? But if it's not the editing, then it's just an incredibly confusing and boring relationship that I cannot relate to.
Yeah. And, you know, they once again have the conversation about her ex-fiancé. Mm-hmm. They broke up, like, a year ago, maybe, and she's still afraid to open up. And it's like, how many times can you just have this conversation? They have it again at dinner.
Yeah.
So there's that. But
did we ever get why they broke up?
No.
No. And see, this is another one of details. My issues. There's no details. There's no more depth. They don't really dig beyond it. And again, I understand it would also be a valid thing for her to say, I don't want to go into the details on camera out of respect for my ex. Like, people have done that in the past.
Totally.
But at least then I would understand why she's not going into details.
It's also the thing is, there doesn't seem to be any thought of, like, sometimes they'll be like, I don't want to go into the details, but here's what it made me think about relationships.
Yes.
It's all about the effect on her and how it's made her afraid. There's no, like, it made me realize that I want a relationship that's more of a partnership, or it made me realize that I wasn't giving enough of myself in that relationship.
Let's just say there's not a whole lot of introspection happening.
And then he asks her if she wants to play soccer with the kids. I think the Bachelor production travels with a band of local youths.
Yeah, it's the Bachelor intern's job. They just round them up.
I love it, though.
Put them in a square.
Yeah,
I mean, who doesn't like watching cute, tiny children run around delightfully?
It's a crowd pleaser. That's why we have it at least once a season.
That or puppies. They had puppies earlier. Check the box.
I'll take puppies every time.
Also, then Ari gets to be like, Lauren, did you play soccer when you were little? And she says, yes, but so did everyone. So that's not even like a very interesting fact. Also, she's the last person in the remaining group that I would ask to play soccer with children. Like, she is sort of just, like, ambling around near them.
I think the real thing is they're trying to give her opportunities to show her personality. Like, if she's good with kids, maybe she, like, you know, brushes some dirt off someone's knee. I don't know. We didn't see any moments of her connecting with the kids either.
Yeah, they're giving these setups, and it's still just, like,
I relate. I'm not great with kids, but, like, you've got to give us a quality about you. Like, maybe it's not kids. Maybe it's not conversation.
Okay, also, something else that Robert Mills said on this podcast was that she's been engaged twice.
Yeah, what?
She's only 25. And also, how have we not heard about this other engagement? Now I'm extremely... See, there's so much here.
Yes. I think we are going to find things out
on
her hometown.
I really hope so.
I really think that the guy who comes back is related to... Not related to Lauren, like, genetically, but I think that it's
one of Lauren's exes.
Also, the best part is seeing the parents and, like, who made you who you are. And maybe, you know, her parents
will bring something out.
They looked really basic in the preview, but we'll see.
Yeah.
Most of them looked really fierce, most of the parents. I think he picked ladies whose parents are going to be very skeptical about this whole thing.
Oh, yeah. Which is always more fun, because then you get to watch the lead kind of squirm. Creates a little bit of tension.
I bet even Lauren's parents at this point, even if they are very, like, vanilla, are going to be like, you're not getting engaged for a third time.
Yeah.
Like, just don't do it. So meanwhile, the date card, third one-on-one date card has arrived, and it is for CN. I'm searching for the one. And then we head back to the night date with Lauren. Lauren's dress for this date was gorgeous.
It was stunning.
She looked beautiful.
She's great taste.
She does.
Yeah.
Good classic style.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she really knows what works for her and, like, plays
Thank goodness
it to the max.
We, like, remember something about her.
That date was, like, the star of this date. I was mesmerized by it. So, again, Ari is just, like, desperate for her to give him something. He's like, I would hate to say goodbye to her. She's so amazing. but I just need something.
Didn't you guys feel like he was going to say goodbye? I had this moment where he was saying, you know, yes. I like you so much, but, and we felt this giant but where everyone in the audience gulps, but then a producer calls him away and he says, excuse me for a second.
Okay, what was that? Why did he up and leave the table?
Okay, I know, and all of
okay, sorry, we're skipping ahead.
Yes.
Go for it.
Okay, so Lauren again goes through the conversation where she's like, I have such a hard time opening up. I'm afraid of being left. I'm afraid of being hurt. Mm-hmm. And then she says, I am falling in love with you. And he looks shocked. And she says, it seems like you have something to say about that. And then he says, can you excuse me for a second? And he leaves and like wanders around to cops. Now, first of all, she just said that she's really afraid of being vulnerable because she will be abandoned. So the minute that she became vulnerable with Ari,
he physically abandoned her.
He physically got up and walked away without telling her why. Like, it's like he wants to mess with her head.
Something else had to have happened here.
Right. Now, so what do you guys think it was? Why did he? Because then he comes back and he says, like, some very confusing, weird things and then says, I'm falling deeply in love with you.
This is what I think happened.
Okay.
I think, you know, the producers from the very first night know who they want to be the next Bachelorette. And I have a feeling the way to get the best storyline for a Bachelorette is to really see some heartbreak. And I think they're building her up. And so I think they didn't like his reaction to her saying, I love you. So the producer said, we need to go take you for a second. And then they hyped him up and said, we need you to really say you like her. And then he comes back and he's like, I mean, I love you. And then everybody thinks it's out of left field. And so in two episodes, when he breaks up with her, she's going to be tragically heartbroken and America will be there to pick up the pieces.
But why would they want Lauren for Bachelorette when she has nothing that could carry a show?
I think that she has a blank slate, and so
I think they might enjoy that.
Yeah, I think they'll, you know, they want to keep that option open.
Interesting.
Sure, I can see them wanting to optimize at least, you know, the final four,
right.
Like tee them all up for potential.
See, I've also saw a couple of podcasts floated the theory that he wanted to say I love you and went to ask for permission.
No.
Because then in the moment he's like, I just want to grab her and be like,
you think
I love
he loves
you.
Her?
I think he thinks he loves her. I think he's infatuated.
Seems more genuinely excited about her than any of the other women.
Yeah.
With no justification
What's
for
baffling
it.
Is right. that there's no justification, but he does seem really excited about her.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he's desperate for reasons to keep her. He's desperate for her to justify it. And why? Like, I think that she is very much his type, and he is very viscerally drawn to it. And he's like, I guess this is love. I guess we're going to get married now. That's just, like, he goes to us in the moment and is like, God, I'm falling in love with that girl. I just want to grab her and be like, I love you. I'm like, really? But, like, he seems to be telling
the
truth.
Yeah, it seems genuine. That's why it's so confusing. On the one hand, I'm like, why?
Like, he's not a
really?
Good actor.
And on the other hand, I'm like, this is the most personality we've seen from you. So I guess, great.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to let her go before he walked away. So I am shocked to hear that he loves her.
My thought was that he was, like, stealing himself to let her go because he was like, I can't justify it. She's not giving me enough. And was like, I'm just going to have to be like, we're not far enough along. And then she said, I'm falling in love with you. And he was like,
"Yeah,
wait, no, we can do this. Like, let's do this. And then he had to go, like, redo his whole speech with the producers. Also, when he gets back to the table, she's like, I'm very good at reading people, and I felt like something was off when you left. And I was like, you
usually
don't have to be good at reading people
leaves,
to notice that.
Yeah, the middle of a conversation, like, something might be up.
She's so good at reading people. And then he's like, no, nothing was off. I just love you so much.
Next time, you know, if I ever go on a first date and he just up and leaves in the middle of a drink, when he comes back, I'm going to be like, look, I'm really intuitive, and I just felt like when you up and left, that maybe something was going on.
He'll really be into that, and then he'll say he loves you.
Yeah, yeah. So he'll be like, I love you.
Yes.
Everything I know about you.
Lesson of the day, this works. Walk away and come back.
I'm just going to try to channel Lauren on all my first dates moving forward, by which I mean say almost nothing and appear coy.
Men love that.
Apparently.
She is mysterious, and he does love her. And, you know, we have to take that into account.
I think that often when men say they love mysteriousness as a quality, what they mean is silence. Yeah. I love women who just don't share their thoughts with me. Maybe don't have any. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter whether they have them or not. Yeah. I don't want to hear them.
As long as they laugh at my fun facts and
look
enjoy
great
my
in
bank
a,
tricks. Yeah,
and look great in a dress.
Yeah.
She doesn't even laugh
stand
at his jokes.
Stand there and look pretty, Kayla.
She doesn't even laugh at his jokes. She literally just stands there and looks pretty and is like, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But then she affirms him in the end. So I don't know. I'm extremely confused by this relationship. Yeah. If anyone has any insights,
I'm sure she's let us like know. A lovely girl, but oh my God, the television is so bad.
We're going to take a quick break, but don't go anywhere. We'll be right back for a lot more Bachelor, especially the dreaded 3-on-1 date.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Lately, my social battery has actually been full to bursting. I feel like I've barely been able to see anyone all winter, especially with little kids at home and constant daycare bugs. And I'm just like dying to get out there and see some people. And, you know, it's actually been kind of hard at times over the winter to feel like I'm just desperate to see friends and I don't have time to do it.
I feel like we're constantly trying to regulate, like, what's the correct amount of social energy? What kind of space do we need to carve out to actually give ourselves the space to socialize? What space do we need to carve out to give ourselves time to actually recharge? Either way, therapy can give you some self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery or store it up a little too much.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try.
It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp.
Visit betterhelp.com/lovetoseeit today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/lovetoseeit. If you have a cat, you want your cat to be healthy and happy because, of course, that makes you happy.
But since, you know, people aren't mind readers, we don't always know when our cats are unwell.
So helping us keep tabs on our cat's health is just one reason you should use Pretty Litter.
Pretty Litter's ultra-absorbent crystals trap odor instantly. No more cat bathroom smell.
Pretty Litter's super light crystal base also minimizes mess and dust.
Here's the coolest thing about Pretty Litter. It actually changes color to help monitor early signs of potential illness in your cats, including urinary tract infections and kidney issues.
Plus, Pretty Litter ships free right to your door in a small, lightweight bag.
Our producer, Talon, has started using Pretty Litter for his cats, and he is a huge fan already. He's found that, like, the crystals really do soak up that odor, and cleaning the litter box is easier than it's ever been because it doesn't get all like weird and clumpy inside, which I remember so well from cleaning my cat's litter box.
Pretty Litter helps keep tabs on your cat's health and keep odors down.
You and your cat are going to love Pretty Litter as much as we do.
Go to prettylitter.com/LTSI and use code LTSI to save 20% on your first order.
That's prettylitter.com/LTSI, code LTSI to save 20%.
prettylitter.com/LTSI, code LTSI.
Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Are you one of those people who thinks they don't have time to prioritize wellness? Yeah, guilty.
Well, Claire, Allo Moves is here to change that whole mindset for you.
The app makes it so easy to keep your wellness routine on track because they have everything in one place. There's yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, there's mindfulness and self-care tips, even healthy recipes, and so much more.
It's kind of wild how far-reaching Allo Moves goes. And their classes range from 5 minutes to an hour. It really just depends on what you have time for that day.
Trying to get in a good sweat? Then you've got to try their award-winning workouts like sweat-inducing yoga flows, HIIT classes, or reformer Pilates workouts with or without weights.
Or you can find stress relief with things like meditations, affirmations, or face yoga.
It's so hard to prioritize wellness when you have a busy job or kids or both. And now that I have both, it's so important to me to be able to squeeze in a workout when I have that random 5 minutes to an hour in between tapings after bedtime. It makes such a big difference how flexible it is and how easy it is to get what you need from the app.
Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves.
Go to allomoves.com now and use code LTSI20 for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code LTSI20.
Allomoves.com, code LTSI20. 1 in 5 Americans have learn a new language on their bucket list.
If, like us, that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel.
Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are designed by over 150 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks.
Studies from Yale, Michigan State University, and others continue to prove Babbel is better.
One study even found that using Babbel for 15 hours is equivalent to a full semester at college.
Oh man, could have saved so much time. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. I recently was in France and Portugal, and I was trying my hand at getting more comfortable with French, really brushing up a little bit, and I found Babbel so helpful. I'm not going to say that I like arrived all fluent, but I did feel much more comfortable ordering food in restaurants, asking for directions, reading signs, speaking to people when I was buying something without having to constantly be consulting a language app.
Here's a special limited time deal for listeners.
Right now, get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/LTSI.
Get 55% off at babbel.com/LTSI.
Spelled BABBEL.com/LTSI.
Rules and restrictions may apply.
Let me set the scene. Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at actually unbeatable prices.
I love it.
Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach.
Like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. We truly love to see it.
By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes.
I love Quince, and I actually have a couple recent Quince purchases that I'm really excited about. I just ordered the Glow Boho hoops to have like kind of a chunkier version of my usual gold hoops to wear, like maybe on a date night or something. And they are beautiful. They're everything I dreamed of.
Indulge in affordable luxury.
Go to quince.com/LTSI for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns.
That's quince.com/LTSI to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/LTSI.
Okay, so Ari and CN meet up in some underbrush. They're going truffle hunting.
With a very cute dog.
The cutest dog in the
world. Two cute dogs were there by my count.
Were there two dogs?
Or I just saw some garbage.
I know, I believe it.
Very cute. Very floppy. Mm-hmm. Little curly fur. And the truffle hunter, Julio. And this was a great date, I thought, because the camera team got to really do some cinematography.
It did.
Or like misty views of the mountain town. It was very, I was like, did I switch the channel to like the Sundance channel or something? What's going on?
Planet Earth.
No, I think that's going to be the go-to date of 2018. Let's all go truffle hunting.
Yeah.
I would do that.
Yeah.
I would do that.
If I get to eat delicious pasta afterwards, I would definitely do it.
Yeah. I mean, my usual sort of date is I just eat the pasta.
Right. And this requires putting a little bit of work into it, which maybe you appreciate the pasta more.
I mean,
more
it might
after.
Be better because what I do is I eat the pasta and then we go home and I put on sweatpants and I'm like, okay, I have to go to sleep. And it's not like the most, you know, it's not the most get up and go.
But you have to know every time you go truffle hunting, it comes with a camera crew. So it'll look epic and it'll be great for Instagram. So it'll be worth it.
Yeah, just get that good Insta content. You don't even need your Instagram husband when you have a full crew with you.
Yeah.
Do you think that's a thing you can do? Just go to Italy and be like, I want to hire a truffle hunting crew.
Honestly,
probably.
Yeah. Also, Airbnb has all these activities. This is not a sponsored post, but I honestly like do cooking classes from there. And you could do it all around the world. So you can go truffle hunting. You could do anything.
Wait, I didn't know Airbnb. Okay, I'm learning something new. I'm going to hit you up after this, Kayla.
So they head to the truffle hunter's home for lunch. And they help make pasta by hand. Ari had no idea what pasta was made of. So even Ari's learning some things on this date. Never too old to learn.
They make little pizzas in the shape of hearts because...
Well, Ari makes one in the shape
of... This is about love.
Yes. Well, just in case we forgot.
Yeah. They were like, can you just...
Cien, focus,
a little more
focus.
Symbolism.
Like, fall in love with me already.
Also, did you notice that they were separated for, like, most of this date?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were talking more with the family.
Honestly, I think producers do that on purpose sometimes when a lead doesn't have a connection so that he doesn't have to talk to them and they don't have to really – they don't have to build a relationship that doesn't need to go anywhere.
They can just talk about their relationship with other people.
Yes.
Yeah. Apparently production had so little faith in Ari and Cien's connection that they were like, we got to bring a whole other family into this date.
Yeah.
So my boyfriend, his name's Nick, and he's very Italian, and his family makes pasta together on Sundays and, like, pasta sauce. And when they had that whole family meal with Cien, and they were all interrogating her, being like, are you getting married? Like, when's the wedding? Like, he was like, this is the most authentic Italian family I've ever seen. So just in case anyone's wondering, it's very real.
Yeah, Cien was like, my family doesn't really talk about these things like that, which, same. But, yeah, it seemed very, like, if you're going to go out to lunch with an Italian family, you got to expect that sort of thing.
Totally.
And the food looked awesome. And they actually got to eat it on camera, which was shocking.
It looked so good.
It looked so good. I really wanted some of that pasta.
Yeah. And then they go have more food for the night date. They're having a romantic dinner in a town. Like, the last thing we saw of them, they were having pizza and pasta, and now they're having dinner. And he clearly just, like, they just, I don't see them together. Like, they don't have a good conversational rapport. They don't really have much chemistry. Like, I don't really know why she got this far. But I'm glad because she's great. And they sort of talk through what hometowns would be like. And then he just sort of starts acting weird. Like, she's sort of saying, you know, I know what your life is like in Scottsdale. You don't want to leave it. I wouldn't either, but I'd have a conversation about that. You know, she's sort of nervous about hometowns, but, like, not too stressed. And then he says, like, I want to be honest with you, and then just goes silent for, like, a long time. I thought I misheard him. I was like...
No, because then poor Cien is like, you're making me nervous. As she nervously laughs.
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to break up with someone, you got to just do it.
Right.
Yeah.
Don't. I know. She should have seen it. I mean, you can kind of have seen it coming. They didn't have a lot of physical connection. He wasn't holding her hand at dinner. This is like a one-on-one date. This is your moment to shine. Like, you should be giggling, talking about, like, having kids one day.
He's also the most physical person. He's like Nick in that way, where you can really tell by physical cues if he's not into someone.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I really just don't see them together at all, but I feel like it should have been easier for him to just say that, and instead, it's almost like he wanted her to pick up on what he was saying so that he wouldn't have to say it. Like, he was like, what if I just text her, we need to talk later, and she knows that I'm going to dump her, so she's just like, you know what, forget it.
I think that's how he broke up with his last girlfriend.
Right, exactly.
Really?
Yeah,
text. That's hilarious. Yeah. But at the same time, this is like his 15th breakup. So he's probably like, I need to, you know, freshen it up. Let's leave a little gap. So she, like, is wondering what's about to happen.
Yeah, it was a different breakup. I will give him that. So he tells her he's struggling to find the deep emotion that he has had with other women. And he's, something's off. So he can't give her the rose. And she is extremely calm.
She just seems very caught off guard. she's like, oh, you didn't express any of these things to me. I wish you had.
She's Goodbye. Really level-headed, and I think
it was a good exit. I mean, I felt like actually all of the exits this episode.
She didn't cry,
were
did she?
Pretty classy.
Not really.
I don't remember her crying.
If she did, it was not very much. Like, she wasn't really that emotional in the car.
Yeah.
I feel like she wasn't that attached to him. Mm-hmm. I think it was probably. Yeah, it's sure late she, in the show for it to be such a chill goodbye to
right.
me.
Right. I think that's true. I think she was probably more into the experience than she was into him, which, fair enough.
I mean, she got to go to France and Italy.
Not that she
hasn't been there before, but all right. So the next morning, he has a group date at Villa Real with Becca, M, Kendall, and Tia.
And a 3-on-1.
Yes. But now that he's sent Cian home, he gets to pick two of them. So Becca mm-hmm. was really excited. Her odds went up.
They really started leaning into all of the times Becca is speaking about this process like a game.
Yeah.
And clearly this is grating on Tia. We see it kind of building. And I read Becca's banter about this more as nervousness, and that's the way she expresses it, is mm-hmm. to be like, oh, there's two roses, so two of us will go home. Isn't this so weird? This is really hard. But I can also understand why to some of the women it might come off as like, hey, that's not what this is about.
Yeah. I think especially if you're all nervous and you're like, I'm not dealing with it in this way.
Yeah.
So it might put up a little bit of an empathetic wall where you're like, I don't understand why she would be talking about this because I'm not, and I'm insanely nervous and I want the rose.
I went on this date too. It's kind of the 3-on-1, and there is.
Oh, you had a 3-on-1.
Yeah, with Becca and Amanda Stanton back in the day. But I just have to tell you, when you're on a group date, that's when you really compare yourself the most because you literally see their connection right in front of you. And, you know, I'm sure this is like a 5-hour date where literally everyone's like asking Becca, are you ready to do this? Mm-hmm. And so she's saying to herself, like, maybe I'm not ready. Maybe this isn't the one. And Tia really fed off of that and, you know, didn't want Ari to think that she was ready.
Yeah, I kind of struggled with this Tia and Becca conflict because so Tia ends up going to Ari and telling him that she is worried because his heart is on the line. She doesn't want him to pick Becca because Becca is on a different page from him. She doesn't think she's ready for marriage. Maybe she's just hasn't had enough romantic experience. Maybe she's too young. And she thinks she's not taking it seriously. And I don't think she should have brought that to Ari. However, whenever Becca gets a chance to deny this, like whenever it's like, well, I'm not sure you're ready for marriage, Becca says, I'm ready for something with him, which is explicitly not what Ari wants. Like he wants marriage. And he's told Becca he doesn't want to just like see where things go after this.
I understood Tia's feelings on it, and I thought that her feelings about it were valid. What rubbed me the wrong way was the going to Ari in sort of a sanctimonious way of like, I'm just looking out for you, when ultimately she's looking out for herself. And that's fair, but like, I don't know. The way it was framed sort of bothered me. And I also just this late in the game really hate seeing women who have gotten along up until this point start to kind of turn on each other. It's just not pleasant. And obviously the 3-on-1 into a 2-on-1 definitely feeds into that dynamic. But
I did like that he gave Kendall a rose first because she had already been on a 2-on-1.
Yeah.
And he kind of removed her from the dynamic earlier, which if I were her, I'd be like, why is this my life? Also, he sort of sets Tia back when she has that conversation with him. He says, I wouldn't really harp on that too much.
Well, I do
which
think
isn't quite Ben Flanick saying tread lightly, but
it's a little softer. I also think, though, she didn't really do herself any favors by bringing this up because ultimately I think Ari was always going to send Becca
totally.
Yeah.
I will say though,
she wasn't ready.
I loved that Tia really spoke her mind because I think she's a girl with conviction. And although she did put her big sister foot ahead of her relationship, I don't know. I think it came from a good place more than other people.
Yes.
Other confrontations before, it's like seems like backstabbing or conniving, but this was like actual genuine concern. Like, I don't think Becca's ready.
I agree. Yeah. I just don't think it was handled the best. But yeah. I don't think it was coming from a malicious place. And right. I think that's also why she went to Becca immediately and said, hey, I want you to know I said this thing.
Yeah, totally.
And Becca just immediately crumples when Tia tells her that she said that. And when Tia says, I feel like your big sister, Becca says, like, I'm sick of people saying that.
Yeah.
In the moment, she's saying, I don't like when I'm not seen for who I really am. It hurts me. Like, I don't, she
it's
wants.
Made me really sad.
She was like, I feel so misunderstood.
It really, honestly, though, I don't think that people say that Becca reminds them of their little sister or that she seems young to be mean. I think it's because we relate to how we were at that age and we've lived through it and we're past it now, but we remember it very clearly. I so remember being at the age where all that seemed to matter was being seen for my true self. And then, like, you come to realize that that's just not going to happen in life. And, like, you might still want it, but, like, it doesn't, it ceases to be your primary sort of focus. And it seems like Becca's still at that stage of being like, life is about being seen for who I truly am and everyone around me, like, validating that.
And I think when you want to be seen for who you truly are, if that's your focus, it means you don't know who you are.
Mm.
I think she's still in that stage where she's still finding herself.
Which is fair.
Yeah.
Which is, yeah, totally justifiable. It just is, gives reason for other girls to, you know, say you're not ready because you're still working on yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, like, I really felt for both of them in this moment. I, like, when Tia says she feels like her older sister, I mean, they are around the age difference that a lot of sisters are, which is not that far apart, but enough for you to be like, oh, I remember when I was your age, little sister, just graduating college or, like, just going out into the world. Mm-hmm. And here's what I've come to know in the few years since then. It's not that big of a difference, but it can feel like a lot from that perspective.
I can absolutely see it both ways. And I can also see why it would be really frustrating to hear that if you're Becca and you think, I'm into this guy. I'm here. I'm not shit-talking a bunch of women to Ari. Let me kind of live. And I also think there's a particular kind of pain that I think I just had a visceral reaction to when you find out, like, someone has read you in a certain way and communicated that to someone else that you care about. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. I think that happens in friendship groups. That happens with siblings. That happens with people that know you and care about you. And sometimes that reading is accurate, and that can hurt just as much as if it's inaccurate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously, again, like, one person cannot read the full intentions of another person. But I don't know. There was something about that entire dynamic that just sort of, like, hit experiences that I feel like I had probably around that age or maybe even a little bit older, where I felt like I was going after something or acting in a certain way and that someone might have had an accurate read on my actions but not their intentions.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, said it behind my back, and that was – that's, like, just a particular kind of, like, heartache.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think that Tia should have taken that on herself with Ari. Personally, like, I don't think it helped Tia.
Yeah.
I think it hurt Becca unnecessarily. But I do think that the whole encounter kind of brought out Becca's youth in a way that she probably didn't.
And it brought out Ari's
time.
Dad's side.
Yes. I was going to say, that hug when she was crying,
God,
and
was
he
so
embraced
paternal.
Her, I was like, this is a father, you know, figure moment.
Oh, yeah. He's like, let me comfort my little stepchild here.
Brushing your hair again like a little puppy.
It's like, relax. It's okay. Yeah. Tell me why the conversation made you so upset.
Yeah.
That's not a boyfriend. Like, if my boyfriend said that to me, I'd slap him in the face. That's not true. Violence is never the answer. But, like, yeah, it felt very much like he was taking care of a dependent in a certain way. And Becca, in a lot of ways, is very outgoing and confident and independent. But she still is, like, I think has these vulnerabilities of someone who is used to being taken care of in, like, a tough situation.
I will say that there's nothing more frustrating than someone making your age the excuse. When I filmed the show, I was 23, or, like, turning 24 was we were filming. And I think my personality came across as maturely, and I think so did Becca's for the most part until this moment. You're right. We do see her age. And that's the matter of the fact. You are young and you can't deny that. And that's just the reality. Yeah.
I think also because Ben was so young that I think that it seemed landed, less out of place.
Yeah, right. It landed differently.
Right. I think if Becca were on Ben's season, it would read very differently because totally. Ben didn't have that, like, I'm maybe your dad sort of vibe, which I still
Ben
get from
Ben had dad jokes, but not a dad vibe.
Yeah. So then Ari sort of reassures her in a weird way. She says, I hope you know that I'm serious. I wouldn't be here if I didn't want something with you. And he says, I know you're a good person, which she takes as reassurance that he knows she's serious about, like, giving him what he wants. Mm-hmm. But it really isn't. It's a whole separate thing, which it matters. It's good that he thinks she's a good person, but it doesn't mean that he thinks that she is here to marry him.
No, women in this situation get so attached to any affirmation. So she was Ben stuck onto this
so
to
limited.
Glue. Yeah, she's like, oh, good person. I'm going to turn that and hear whatever I want to hear.
Yeah, I mean, when you really are craving that affirmation, I mean, we've seen guys do it on The Bachelorette, too. Like, yeah. You hear what you want to hear. But he actually pivots right off of that into asking
tough questions
about what her family would think. And this is when we find out that she's very close to her family and talks to them all the time, except, I guess, when she goes to work on a marijuana farm right after
there
taping The
no
Bachelorette.
There was no cell service, Claire.
Come on. And then she shows him her white hairs. And they make out. But Becca's days are numbered.
Her hours are numbered.
So he, first of all, gives a rose to Kendall because he says there's one person he felt out of confidence in today. Kendall still hasn't had a one-on-one.
She hasn't. She came out of left field, people. Where did she come from?
I
kind of like it, too.
Oh, I love her
so
much.
She's so herself, and their connection's undeniable, so I'm glad he is, like, affirming that.
And I'm really excited to meet her family. Mm-hmm. I'm extremely curious.
Yeah. Well, apparently there's going to be a lot of taxidermy because we saw a little taxidermy wedding in the preview. Like, there's going to be
I wonder if this is a thing that her entire extended family is into. Like,
maybe.
Did she inherit the taste?
She grew up
taxidermy.
Around taxidermied animals.
I guess we'll see.
And it seems like we meet her sister, too, who is very skeptical about Ari. And now it's a two-on-one with Becca and Tia.
And Tia is just, like, losing her mind because she is the most certain, almost out of any of the women, that she is here for this process. She told him she was falling in love with him weeks ago.
She said it so early.
And she's just, in her mind, she's like, yep, this is it. I'm sure about this. Yeah. I'm ready to go.
Is that 2 weeks ago, the Florida
Keys? I think so.
Yeah. Oof. She, like, pulls him aside to talk about Becca again at dinner and is like, I just can't stop comparing myself. And he laughs and says, you stress too much. That's literally what the date
is. Yeah, I was
going
to say, that is the premise of this entire show and definitely specifically of a two-on-one date.
I forget how long it's been since he was a contestant himself. He seems to have, like, lost a little bit of the emotional connection to, like, how much it sucks because he's, like, amused by how stressed she is in this psychological torture chamber of the two-on-one date.
It's so easy to get in your head, too. He should remind her to get out of your head. I don't know.
Yeah, like,
bring
give
her
a
back
little
to the
coaching.
Moment. Yeah.
It's basically the Bachelor version of being like, calm down.
Yeah.
Like, don't stress.
Yeah.
Which we all like to hear.
Right. Yeah. Every woman loves being told to calm down when she's expressing emotions.
So then Becca gets some alone time with Ari, and she says she feels like he sees her. Mm-hmm. And he says, I do see you. And I felt like they were talking about different meanings of the word see when they were saying that.
He's like, I'm literally
like,
looking,
I'm
at
looking at
you.
I'm looking at
you.
I see your face. And he says sometimes what he sees is good and sometimes it makes him nervous. And she says, have a little faith in my 22-year-old self. And I'm just like, stop reminding him of that.
Yeah.
Like, why do you – just like, don't play into it.
She says she's falling for him, that it's scary, and that she wishes he had more faith in her, but she has faith in him. So naturally, she is immediately sent home.
Yeah. I mean, it was coming.
It was definitely coming. It was time.
he'd been thinking about it a while. You could tell in his mindset, and like he'd been a little distant, and that father comforting hug, like.
Yeah, you can't really return from that. Yeah.
No.
He honestly switched into like the stepdad mode with her.
Except
for all the making out as soon as he found out she was 22. Like, it's like his posture changed at the dinner table when she said that.
Every goodbye has a kiss, apparently, even with Jacqueline. So, I mean, it's very natural.
You might as well. Like, it's not like you're ever going to see them again. Until the. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's been real.
And, like, they all want to make out with him still, so you can get away with it. She very calmly says, like, I think it's going to end well for you. And she gets in the car and immediately, like, bursts into tears.
It was a graceful exit, though.
Yeah.
She really did have feelings for him. This was, you know, a genuine relationship.
Yeah.
And we get a little bit of footage of him talking about how much he genuinely enjoys her as a person, which I thought was sweet.
Yeah. I do think that she'll look back at this in 5 years and be so glad that she did not marry
Ari. I think she'll look back at this, like, maybe now.
Maybe now. Yeah. Maybe at this
she'll laugh
moment.
About it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I need to meet Ari because there must be something about him in person that is way more captivating and, like, makes you just want to grab his face and make out with him, like, that is just not coming across on screen. Because all of these women... It's like Jacqueline's in the middle of breaking up with him and she's still like, gotta get that last makeout in. Like, what? Like,
maybe it's his cologne.
Something's being lost in translation.
There's something about men and cologne.
Interesting.
It's a really good scent.
Sex panther.
Yes. Pheromones.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. And that's the end of the episode. Next week, hometowns. And it seems like we're going to have some scary parents who are not impressed. Kendall's sister thinks that Ari is too insubstantial for her sister. And probably Lauren's ex is coming back to make a play for his lady.
Do we think that – is that next episode?
Hometowns?
Do we think that the engagement thing is the ex's next episode, though?
Probably.
Yeah, I think so.
When they're in the area. But this is a lot of pressure. This is like the big leagues now.
Yeah.
We're at the final four. And, you know, it's so funny. In this timeline for the producers, I feel like they want the women to say, I love you, if they haven't yet. So they're just going to check the box. And then it's even more conflict when he meets the parents and she says, I love this man. And they're like, no, you don't. Yeah. So we'll see what happens.
Obviously.
Yeah. I mean, and this Kendall's is coming from Kayla, who has been through this.
Yes. I've been to hometowns and my parents were not happy. Yeah. In disbelief.
They handled it well, though.
Yeah. Thank you.
It seems like people are going to be a little more in your face with Ari than we saw. The past couple of seasons were a little more chill, hometown-wise.
I'm ready for it.
He picked some spicy ladies with personality and interesting families.
Thank goodness for that.
Yeah. Who do you guys see getting eliminated after hometowns?
Tia?
Yeah, maybe Tia.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Tia or Kendall. I mean, I think Lauren and – I kind of think Lauren and Becca are final two.
I think maybe Becca and Kendall for some reason.
Really?
Yeah. I think he's got a really strong connection with Kendall, and I like it.
Well, that's what makes me think Tia might be the one to go.
They're both homebodies.
He hasn't had a one-on-one date with Kendall, which to
That's why I don't think she's final two.
Right. It suggests – to me that he hasn't invested that time with her because he doesn't see it long term. Whereas Lauren, he just can't stop having one-on-one dates with. But you know what? We don't have to guess because we're going to find out in just a few weeks. And in the meantime, Bachelor Winter Games.
So get ready, guys. We'll have a bonus episode coming your way on Friday.
Yeah. Thanks so much for being with us, Kayla.
Thanks, guys. This was really fun.
And now, welcome to Feminism Fails, where we rate the most cringeworthy anti-lady moments of the week on our very own patented Feminism Fail scale.
1. You do you, bro. 2. That's questionable. 3. Not cool, people. 4. The 1950s are back. 5. Gender equality is straight up dead.
So not a lot going on this episode, frankly. It was pretty dull, so not too much in the way of feminism fails. But we are going to sort of ding Tia for going to Ari to tell him that she doesn't think Becca is old enough or has had enough life experience for a serious relationship. It's just not really a cool thing to do to another woman. And she should have just stuck with having a direct conversation with Becca about it if she was so worried. And, you know, maybe tell Ari when you get sent home that you're worried about him. But instead, it just came off as a little bit catty.
And we're going to give a light feminism win to Jacqueline for knowing what her needs were, knowing what she wanted out of life, and recognizing that that just wasn't going to be compatible with Ari's needs. And also just the beauty of her relationship with Kendall. A real feminism win.
It was a win for my soul.
Yeah, definitely a win for the soul. And that's it for Here to Make Friends. Thanks to our guest, Kayla Quinn, and to our producer, Nick Offenberg.
If you haven't yet, remember to find Here to Make Friends on Apple Podcasts to subscribe and give us a rating. We're also on Facebook and Instagram, so please like our pages. You can also find us both individually on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at Claire E. Fallon.
And I'm at Emily D. Rose. Or you can always send us an email at heretomakefriends@huffpost.com.
Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week to visit four beautiful hometowns.
You can start your day off right when you find a professional on Angie to get your plumbing right first. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Visit Angie.com. You can do this when you Angie that.
Why are smart businesses graduating to NetSuite by Oracle? Because NetSuite eliminates the expense of multiple business systems by consolidating your operations together into one. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one platform and one source of truth. NetSuite reduces IT costs because it lives in the cloud with no hardware required, so you can access it from anywhere. You cut the cost and headaches of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. Bringing all your major business processes into one platform improves efficiency, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math. You'll see how you'll profit with NetSuite, too. And now, by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Just go to netsuite.com/podcast25 for more information. That's netsuite.com/podcast25.